City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, October 24th, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. The we being Jason Timonic.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Assistant City Administrator from Bismarck, and Mary Van Sickle from Dakota Media. Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You had a marathon meeting last night, a big one.
Got our money's worth again last night.
It went almost to 9 o'clock.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to talk about, so we'll jump right in. But the evening started with some accolades
for
the
city. Had some highlights last night, you bet.
It was nice. And, you know, while it might be viewed as a bit fluffy, but there were some awards given. One is the best drinking water in the state was awarded by League of... Where did that award come from?
I knew you were going to ask.
Sorry about that. But anyway, we know that City of Bismarck's drinking water is rated number one in the state.
Best tasting tap water in the state. First time ever for a City of Bismarck that recognition. Yeah.
Okay. So Michelle Closey was there from the department as the department head.
Yep.
And the entire staff.
She brought a big part of her team. Yeah. From the water treatment plant.
And unsung heroes.
Absolutely. Good
I
for
mean,
them.
I mean, really, you know, again, and we always talk about water on this show. This is something we really take for granted.
We know that
the quality is there and it's safe drinking water is huge. So kudos to them and kudos to us to have this product here in Bismarck. Also, another award last night that was really fun, Mike Dannenfelser from CENCOM came up and gave an award to one of their dispatch people.
Right, one of the supervisors at CENCOM, and it's called the Early Bird Award. And this is actually the second time Mike Mundahl has received this recognition. And essentially what he did is he helped deliver a baby over the phone. As Mike Dannenfelser explained it last night, there was a young couple en route to Bismarck.
On Highway 83.
Highway 83, called 911, and
it was
imminent.
It was happening then.
It was just a few minutes of time, and Mike Mundahl walked them through the process.
They have a medical protocol that they go through immediately, and that's what happened.
Yep, they dispatched... the ambulance services to meet them along Highway 83. The baby didn't want to wait for that. So Mike did a great job walking that young couple through all the steps they needed to do, and
baby's
safe and everything's great. So
what a great guy.
Yeah, it's nice to recognize the hidden heroes, as they say, the folks at dispatch, because as Commissioner Oban mentioned, if it weren't for them, police and fire couldn't do their jobs either. So we don't see these people every day, but they are an absolutely critical part of emergency response. So
we don't see a lot of, again, water, the staff down at the water department, people at CENCOM. These are the people behind the scenes, and there's a lot of them that do the work of the city.
Yep, very dedicated staff.
And so the commission started last night, actually, as the Board of Health. They convene as the Board of Health periodically.
Once every quarter.
And that... They went through all that, and what they got first was a mosquito update, which...
Our Environmental Health Administrator, Anton Sattler, shared some numbers. Of course, we all remember we had
a pretty
big spike in mosquito counts this year. Anton shared some graphs and some information, and clearly it was record numbers from years gone by. Anton also mentioned that he'll be looking at some application processes if in the future, if the city were ever to consider... an aerial spraying application. Right. There's a lot of paperwork and steps that need to go into place before that can happen. So in anticipation of something like this in the future, Anton's preparing for that and getting ready.
And it doesn't mean that's going to
happen. It's not a guarantee. There's certainly a cost that goes along with that. But at least to get some of the applications, the materials out of the way, that would make it easier for him if, in fact, we needed that resource down the road.
And as we become more aware of mosquito-borne diseases and things that are happening, I mean, that's just good practice. And also a part of this, public health, obviously Renee Mock was there, and she talked about the strategic plan for the next few years that they will be following. And she talked to, she gave us kind of an outline of what they're going to focus on in the next few years.
Yeah, and one of the big things that public health has been talking about a lot is social detox. That is... it's an opportunity to get people that might otherwise end up in a correctional facility to help get them into a center where they can hopefully get their arms around some of their addictions and some of the concerns.
I think she mentioned that she was traveling to Fargo along with the chief of police and another individual to go and look at their how they're handling things in Fargo.
Right. Both Fargo and Grand Forks have social detox centers, and Fargo actually has what they call a mobile detox, which instead of an ambulance responding to a call of concern, the social detox group would go help that individual and get them to a place where they can get some services that would hopefully point them in the right direction.
Right. And I think we have some of the highlights of Renee Mock's priorities for 2016 to 2018 priority. Oh, these were the past priorities. I'm sorry. Misspoke a little bit here. But these are the things that they have focused on. So she gave an update on the progress made in these areas.
Certainly some of these things are going to carry over. Chronic disease, obesity, food safety, education. Those are all things that will remain at the top of their list. But they are a pretty nimble group, and they can respond to emerging concerns as well.
So. And Renee continues as a critical part of the
Gold Star Community Task Force. Yeah. Definitely. That was something that was initiated about a year ago, and there have been some really good efforts that have come out of that. It puts community service providers, healthcare providers, public health officials, law enforcement officials all in one room to tackle some of these emerging concerns that are apparent throughout the community.
All right. So, Board of Health just adjourned, and then they reconvened as the City Commission. And on the regular agenda last night, not to be confused with Public Health Strategic Plan, is our city's effort
our own strategic plan. Yeah.
That's moving forward.
It is. We still have the Vision and Values Survey open. It'll be open at least through the end of the month. But more importantly, coming up November 1st will be another opportunity for the community to get engaged and share their thoughts and ideas. City of Bismarck will be hosting a town hall event. So it's Thursday evening, November 1st from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. This is up at BSC in the National Energy Center of Excellence, the Bavendick State Room. As Commissioner Zenker noted, it's the one with the really cool view. So if you
top of the building,
fourth floor. Yeah, absolutely. It's it'll be an interactive town hall. So if you have a mobile device or a smartphone, you'll be able to participate in some of the questions. There may be some
voting, those types
Q&A. We'll definitely have some microphones in the room. So if people want to ask questions or get engaged, that's your chance. So we're hopeful that lots of folks, anyone in the community, stakeholders, residents, business owners, you name it, you're welcome. It's free. We certainly want to see as many people as we can.
So that website is up and active still, and that's bismarckstrategy.com.
You bet.
Go right there. Click on the. You can look at some of the background information. Documents are in there, but the form in the surveys is there.
It's
and that's
there.
What you're looking for. You're looking for more participation, although you've had quite a few participate already.
I checked the survey yesterday. We had just over 700 people that had completed it. Commissioner Oban is going into the public schools next week to try and engage some of the senior level students as part of their government classes, get them engaged in civics. And this survey will really become the foundation for the strategic plan as we go forward. So this is, you know, we're still in the early stages, but very critical feedback and input right now.
Info gathering.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Go to that website at bismarckstrategy.com to complete the survey. Be very helpful. And then attend the town hall if you
please.
Can on November 1st.
November 1st at 5:30.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Sounds good. Also on the regular agenda last night was a final consideration of a planned unit development, a change in zoning for Hillcrest Acres, which is a out on East Main, campground.
RV but park and a small mobile home park as well. I think there's 10 permanent units out there. So new owner, just bought the property recently and looking to make some improvements to the site. So they had the property had never been platted, never been officially zoned for the types of uses that are there. So.
And we talked about this at our last meeting. It's a little bit of housekeeping just to update the zoning there was not accurate. So
right. And then this will again lay the groundwork for them to continue to make improvements out there. So look for some new things if you're looking for an RV park, that would
And the owner was there and he asked for some consideration of changing the language somewhat or modifying the language to allow another type of structure to be put out there, cabins or yurts similar to the Cross Ranch kind of setup. The commission decided to keep the language as is, but did make sure that they told the owner he has an appeal process or he can go in for an adjustment if that need comes up or when they decide to implement something like that.
Yeah, I think
that.
What the commission heard was that there were no immediate plans to make those improvements, but what the owner wanted was the flexibility to adjust and make changes along the way. But of course, with any planned unit development, there can be modifications that if they are requested or applied for, that goes back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a hearing.
Options there.
Yep.
Also on the agenda and following this was a request, a presentation from the North Dakota Manufacturing Housing Association. They came back. This is kind of an old discussion, and it's a continuing discussion with this group. And these are primarily owners of mobile home parks.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And they're... concern is the inequity, as they see it, in special assessments and how they're applied to their properties.
And the city relies on the North Dakota Century Code to determine how properties are assessed. And in that particular situation, because a manufactured home park is a commercial business, the Century Code allows for special assessments to be calculated at a rate of 2 instead of a residential structure, which would be a rate of 1. With it being a business, there's obviously some income to be made. This, as you mentioned, this conversation has been going on for several years. And within the last, I want to say 2 or 3 years, previous commission made an adjustment to that assessment rate. It went from a rate of 2 down to 1.5. I think the manufactured home park owners would like to see that rate at 1. Mm-hmm. So it would be at the same rate as a single family or a two family dwelling.
And it was a good discussion. There's a lot of participation in this. And I think that one of the issues that the commission is concerned about is setting a precedent and opening that door, because you could potentially make that same argument for apartment buildings and individuals who own multiple apartment complexes.
Right.
And that could have a huge impact on the city budget.
Absolutely. And there's, look around town, there's probably hundreds of apartment homes, apartment buildings with thousands of dwellings in them. The manufactured home park operators are suggesting that this is one of the only forms of affordable housing, but I think Commissioner Guy was keen to note that many people choose to live in apartments as well. So what we do for one, we may need to do for others. So really the discussion was for staff, look at everything here. Look at what other communities are doing. Look at any unintended consequences. What would change if there were some proposals to...
it's part of a bigger discussion.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that was interesting that was touched on last night, too, was the fact that there has been some attention given to this issue at the legislative North Dakota legislature in the past. And, they talked about that. That's pretty tricky, but it was generally agreed at the table that they want this to be a local issue and it should be a local issue.
Right.
But I think that's where the bottom line of what happened last night, the result of last night's presentation and discussion, was that city is going to go back, staff is going to go back, Jason's going to go back and start digging a little bit into the numbers. And I think that will reveal what is going on around the state. How does Fargo structure this? How does Willison structure mobile home parks as opposed to residential, single family type of operations? So that'll be good information to have as we move forward.
Very robust topic.
Yeah.
And
it's going to take some research.
It will take some research, and we'll want to make sure that we don't, again, make any decisions that would cause negative impacts on anybody else for unintended reasons. So.
All right. Yeah. Good discussion.
Yeah. We can sure come back to this one as we learn more along the way. I know this wasn't I'm assuming this won't be the last time we talk about this, because really there was no definitive action taken other than directing staff to bring us more information.
And this was a request that was made through to Commissioner Marquardt, who brought it to the commission, said we need to keep this on the table, so to speak.
Definitely.
Yeah. You bet. Also on the table last night was another interesting discussion, and it's probably why the meeting was so long. Some of these things did go on for a while, but they're important. And this has to do with recycling contamination. A very interesting discussion.
Pretty eye-opening information from the folks at Waste Management.
And Jeff Heinz had gotten a hold of us a few weeks ago, and we had a conversation about this and how it is a huge concern that recycling, and especially in the drop sites, mostly in the drop sites around here, we have contamination, which makes them not recyclable.
Right.
And that's the problem. So we are running a video for Jeff that hopefully is providing some education in this. Mm-hmm. And but there's certainly more to do. And last night you had the individual from the vendor who has the contract. Mm-hmm.
I heard an interesting term last night. It was wish cycling, hoping that what you're putting in the bin is recyclable, but in the end, it's quite likely going to be trash. Mm. And the way the materials are sorted and sifted and things like that, some of these non-recyclable materials really cause problems at the recycling facilities. So what I heard the gentleman from Waste Management offer is that recycling should really be things that are coming from your kitchen. You know, he showed some pictures of mattresses, car parts, batteries, things that
baby really, seats,
they don't belong in the recycling stream.
Right.
And although you may have the best intentions, it may not be the right place for that material. So education is always important. But I think what we also heard is that if we don't make some adjustments to the recycling stream, when it comes time to renegotiate the contract with Waste Management in a couple of years, we could see those rates jumping quite a bit because they're finding it more difficult to get rid of the material that they're collecting.
Yeah. Well, that really is the getting up really high mm-hmm. on the issue. Mm-hmm. That's the big issue is that recycling. We've been selling our recycling materials to other countries or mm-hmm. different places around the world, which is kind of mind blowing anyway.
Seems bizarre, but
it does seem very odd. But China was a big recipient of mm-hmm. recycling materials, and they have implemented some very, very strict guidelines that are now in place mm-hmm. that are going to restrict what's coming in. So they're not taking everything that's showing up.
Right.
And that's going to affect, the trickle down is going mm-hmm. to be immediate and very dramatic for most communities. So, mm-hmm. and as I understood last night, the discussion wasn't so much about the single sort recycling totes that people have, right. residential properties or whatever. That's not where the abuse is coming from. It's primarily from the drop sites, the 9 drop sites, right. I believe, in the city mm-hmm. of Bismarck.
Right. So the action last night to help control some of that contamination will be to relocate those 9 drop sites to one site. It'll be somewhere near the landfill, at the landfill property, quite likely near the scale house or near the gate, where those that are choosing to put their materials in there, there's a little bit of a opportunity for the landfill staff to monitor what's mm-hmm. going in there and help control some of that waste.
Because the drop sites, they're not secure. And I think people have this idea, they're a little anonymous mm-hmm. as they start dropping this stuff and mm-hmm. jam up these, the big dumpsters. The dumpsters, yeah. And they fill them up, and the next person comes along and throws them on the ground. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of abuse there, unfortunately. And we even heard stories about people are coming from other communities
right.
and using these drop sites, and not obviously they're not paying anything mm-hmm. to make that happen.
And I'm sure their best intentions from those individuals, but for the rest of us that are paying for this service, there's a little bit of an inequity.
It's an abuse of the service, no doubt. Did I understand too that it was said that Mandan doesn't have any drop sites? They had not allowed the recycling materials to be sent to drop mm-hmm. sites.
I think
and they've
just
kind
curbside.
Of avoided that yeah. that situation. But Bismarck tried it because you mm-hmm. had them in place anyway. Mm-hmm. So now it's going to be secured to a single site out at the landfill.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Not a bad. But there's more to this story.
There
and
will
there's
be.
Certainly yeah. more education that needs to be done on recycling. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody wants to do it. Yeah. And it's single sort recycling it sounds great. How easy could it be? Mm-hmm. But there's a little more to it. And I think Commissioner Guy had some, interesting comments about just our own individual practices mm-hmm. with products and packaging. You have a bar of soap we've all been used mm-hmm. to, well, some of us of a certain generation for years, it comes in a paper box
right.
or a wrapper.
Instead of a
And now we have
plastic
big, giant
container.
Plastic containers mm-hmm. that we buy and then throw in the trash.
Yeah.
So just even that one product, when you think of the impact of that for millions of people in this country, that's mm-hmm. substantial.
Yeah.
We just all need to kind of rethink what we're using. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just as guilty as the next person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd hate for this program to be taken away as well, because it is saving
absolutely,
it. Commissioner Guy shared some numbers on the amount of space we've saved in the landfill through the recycling program. It's a tremendous amount of value for us as the city to be able to preserve the life expectancy of our landfill, because obviously landfills aren't cheap. They're not easy to establish or build or locate. So recycling is an important part of all of our waste.
It is working.
It is.
And I was surprised to hear them say that the residential properties are not really, there's not a huge concern here. Some, but not like the drop site.
Yeah. So we'll be anxious to see if this has an impact, a positive impact on the overall collection of recycling materials.
We'll continue to kind of work with the city and help educate on some of those issues as well. Also on your agenda last night, Keith Hunke came forward, the city administrator, with the legislative agenda, a rough list, a draft list, if you will, of 2019 legislation that's going to come forward and what the city is going to focus on.
Right. And this is typical every 2 years. You know, we'll develop an agenda of items that we want to monitor. There's always some reoccurring themes, of course, and then a couple of the commissioners added a few things to the discussion last night. I believe Commissioner Oban had brought up concerns with behavioral and mental health. Commissioner Guy had mentioned some concerns with human rights, things that she would like to see move forward. So we will definitely be monitoring these things. Once the legislative session starts after January, you'll see regular updates from Mr. Hunke at every commission meeting. And then that is his opportunity to share the information with the commission, but then also take direction on where the city's position is on these various items that are going through.
And Keith even revised his list as he presented and said, you know, he'd been contacted by representatives from Dakota West Arts Council about including references to supporting the arts in our legislative agenda and support for North Dakota Council on the Arts. Should that legislation appear in the state, that we need to be watching that, because the trickle down of that affects how we view that here in our community as well. But it's, this list is meant to be fluid. It's going to evolve over time. And as you see bills being prepared and introduced, I would assume you'll be reacting.
Absolutely. There are a handful of bills that have come up already, but we need to be very nimble as the 80 days of the legislature transpires. Things can come up at the last minute. Things can come up early on, and then they might kind of lay quietly and then pop up again at the end. So between Keith and myself and the other staff, we will spend a fair amount of time at the Capitol making sure that we're monitoring, watching, supporting.
Yeah, well, and Keith talked about that. The role of the city of Bismarck is somewhat significant for the, because you are in the capital city. A lot of the legislators will use you as references or resources, I should say, for information. And just, you know, you're kind of the go-tos right here in the community. And you've taken that role pretty seriously. That's just the way it's always been.
Yeah, and it's interesting how some of the smaller communities are experiencing things that we may have dealt with decades ago, but for them, it's a very brand new, real situation. So oftentimes we are looked to for, hey, what did you guys do here? Did this work out? Or you know, any suggestions for us? So it's nice to know that people value our input and our feedback, but at the same time, we take it very seriously. There's a big responsibility that goes into state lawmaking.
Yeah, and you know what's coming up. I mean, the hours spent on this are going to be significant. So, and I would assume that we'll have maybe some issues brought back to here for City Current that we'll talk about,
I'm
too.
I'm sure we'll have a few.
Yeah. Okay. We'll look forward to that. Also on the agenda, I keep saying also on the agenda.
It's a big agenda.
It was a big agenda. Discussion about the process that will be followed to replace our retiring community development director. What will that look like? And it was a long discussion, and really it just boiled down to we want to take a deeper look at the department and see if this might be an opportunity for some restructuring. It's a good idea. Take a step back when you have that opportunity to see if there's something that can be changed.
Right, and we internally, we do this already with full-time positions. When there's a vacancy that comes up, myself, the human resources director, and the finance director, we are the vacancy review committee. So every time there's an opportunity to look at a vacant position, we get together, we meet with the department director, we review how has that position changed, has that person that left, did they have a skill set that needs to be replaced, and so on and so forth. In this situation, because it's a department director, the department directors report to the city commission. So they are acting as the vacancy review committee at this time. So really, I think what they're doing is just taking some time, pausing a little bit to review. Okay, community development, that means planning, that means building inspections. What is the role of that department within the entire organization? Do we want to make any changes? Carl's been with the city for 40 years, so he's seen a lot of opportunity and a lot of changes over the years. Do we want to shift? Do we want to do anything differently? Yeah. Or are we going to continue moving forward as we have in the past? So
that looked like what's going to happen in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. Take a deeper look at this. And then more than likely an interim director will be appointed because Carl will be leaving mid-January.
Right.
So that's really not a huge span of time to get this deeper look in the department, advertise for the position, go through the interviews. So more than likely that person, he will not be replaced by that time. So an interim director will likely be put in place.
Yep.
That's what I understood.
I'm guessing that's what's going to be happening. My understanding is that Keith Hunke will be working with the mayor. The mayor holds the portfolio for community development and between the two of them, they'll have some conversations and see what the ideas look like. That'll be brought back to the commission, and then it becomes a decision of all five.
All right. Carl's been there 40 years. Wow.
1978.
Wow.
So,
do we have pictures? We could probably do a little montage.
You know, I know Carl's
Carl
been
through the years.
Carl, I joke internally that Carl's our local historian. He's got a nice collection of things from over the years, and he's shared some of those things as he's starting to clean out some of his files and things like that. So we might have to try and get him on here before January rolls around. So
photos would be welcome. Yes. Pictures are good, especially if he's got one they started with a ponytail or whatever.
There might be some with a mustache in there once in a while. I know when I started in 2006, Carl had a mustache. So there's some changes over the years.
Everybody had a mustache.
I think it was a requirement for government employees at one time. So.
I think you're right. Portfolio assignments were also discussed, and Commissioner Zenker brought that forward.
Yeah, good topic.
It was a good topic, and you know, he said, you know, he was prompted to do this because he's had people say, "Well, now that you're in there,
you only work two days a month. They work a lot more than just two meetings a month.
Well, even just the background information when you get the agendas, which we do here, you know, it's really in depth. And you can't come to the table without doing your homework.
Right.
So that in itself. But then each commissioner holds a certain amount of city departments in their portfolio. Right. So there's meetings that have to take place with those departments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are
some
the areas.
Some are busier than others.
Right. Those are areas that they're asked to kind of concentrate on. Probably 6 to 8 portfolios for each commissioner. Some are departments, some are advisory boards.
Yes.
Commissioner Zenker alluded to that he sits on the Renaissance Zone Authority. So... again, another annual monthly meeting, you know, for those types of things. But I think it's a great idea to give an opportunity to the commissioners to talk about some of the things that they're doing maybe behind the scenes, working with the staff, working with the department directors. But it's also part of that transparency in government. If we can start to share even more of what we're trying to do day to day, hopefully the general public will have a better understanding and an awareness of all the initiatives, all the efforts that are going on citywide.
Absolutely. And I think, especially for new commissioners, obviously, it's a good way to really get in deep with some of the departments and understand what they do. We have a liaison commissioner. Commissioner Oban is our commissioner right now, which is very valuable. Prior to Commissioner Oban, we had Steve Marquardt.
Commissioner Marquardt.
And again, very valuable and valuable for us so that they really know what we're doing and that we can be a go-to for them. And, and
you've got a point of contact there.
Absolutely.
And kudos to Commissioner Zenker for bringing this up. You and I were talking before the program about, I like these ideas when they're new ideas from new perspectives, new faces on the commission. When we first started talking about this in the office, I thought, why haven't we done this before? It was one of those things that seems so simple, but yet so impactful. So I'm looking forward to these going forward.
And these being probably a regular report then from the commissioner on their departments and what's going on.
Yeah, activity. So as administration staff, we are the department that builds the agenda. We work collectively with all the city departments to put the agenda together. So between ourselves, the commissioners, you know, with their insight, we will figure out the best way to package these on a regular basis and then you expect
probably
to see
not
them.
All commissioners at every meeting.
No, so. I would expect maybe one report from each commissioner and do it on a rotational schedule or something makes along sense. Those lines. Yeah. So, I think it'll be a nice addition.
We talked too about what is it what are some other ways that we can help flesh out some of that information mm-hmm. and put that out to the public about these all these departments doing all these various tasks? Mm-hmm. We talked earlier about how a lot of them are real hidden. You don't really hear about right. them until it's something very special or mm-hmm. whatever, yeah. you know, so.
Yeah, there's certain departments, obviously, that get a fair amount of attention mm-hmm. just because of their sure. presence in the community, the police department, the fire department, the library, yeah. but there's a lot of stuff going on mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily reported on or people Absolutely. Aren't as well aware of. So I think this is a great chance to
yeah,
talk about
Yeah,
I'll
look
about
forward
those
to that and seeing what we can do to help mm-hmm. contribute to
Appreciate
that conversation.
That.
Gabe Schell, city engineer, came forward with mm-hmm. designs for now for the Main Street conversion. I want to call it the final design, but yep. nothing's final till they
till
actually
it's built.
Put it in the ground.
Right.
Modifications can happen. But this is a discussion that's been going on for well
Quite
over
some time.
A year.
Yes.
So it, the decision was made to go to a three-lane main mm-hmm. avenue. Funding is there through the state DOT.
Right.
And Gabe has then was tasked with coming up with those final designs, and yeah. that's what you
some
heard last
final
night.
Final recommendations, yeah.
yeah.
We all recognize there's some situations on Main Avenue, particularly I'm thinking about Main Avenue and 6th Street, that transition when it goes
right.
from two lanes down to one lane and people get...
It's a little tricky.
If you're westbound, you might get caught in that.
Coming out of McDonald's.
Yep, yeah, so there definitely
There's all
to
sorts
be,
of things happening there,
there's
in that
There's some improvements
little section.
That need to happen.
Yes.
The recommendation that Gabe offered last night is to actually put parking back on the street between 6th and 7th on the north side of Main Avenue. That could be a very timely improvement considering yeah. that the vacant lot right next door
Got
is
development
hoping
in.
To be developed mm-hmm. as a mixed-use property in the near future. Might be some minor modifications to the curb lines to help guide traffic into those areas. But the lane conversion even expanded a little beyond 7th Street to the east, all the way over to 9th Street to help redirect that traffic into those lanes to get either through downtown on Main Avenue.
So if you're heading west on Main Avenue, you can get through that 9th Street mm-hmm. intersection, and then it's going to start transitioning.
Correct.
And that's what we have on the screen right now. And I think that's a, to me, it seems like a very logical
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, because there's going to be a high volume of traffic mm-hmm. that's going to go north on 9th,
you know, yep.
the one way heading north. As you move between 9th and 8th, there will be another opportunity for some more street parking. And then having that dedicated center turn lane will help get some of those cars out of
transition
the, out
early
of the queue
on.
And, yeah. and into those turn lanes. The other thing that you're going to see with these changes on Main Avenue will be new traffic signals, dedicated left turn signals. I know that's been a concern for some folks that it causes some stacking into the intersections. With those dedicated left turn signals, that'll help those cars get into those lanes and move through those intersections more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Another change that Gabe had mentioned last night is at 6th and Main. Of course, that's kind of a low volume intersection. There is a traffic signal there, but the new signal that will be put in will be actuated by pedestrians pushing the button. So
oh.
there will be more recognition of the east-west traffic
mm-hmm.
and then an opportunity for that northbound or southbound traffic to then trigger the signal to change. So that mm-hmm. should help move the progression of cars through those intersections a little bit more.
Right. There's a lot of pieces, and there's some bump outs on the curbs as well. ADA requirements, some
Correct.
Of the ramp, there was some discussion about some of them aren't quite up to the standards they should be, so those will be revised, the ones that need to.
Mm-hmm. Gabe got technical with us again last night and used the term truncated domes.
Ooh.
So what those are, for those of us that don't speak engineering sometimes, those are the yellow indicator panels that you see at the crosswalks for people with
okay.
visual impediment. It helps them identify there's a crosswalk coming. There's obviously some texture to it as well, so if you're standing in that area, you recognize that you are at an area where there should be a crosswalk. So those changes will be coming as part of all of these improvements.
And that's
next year, 2019.
2019 mm-hmm. was my next question.
I knew
so
it.
So now you anticipated that. But the project still, the design is still now being submitted to DOT.
Correct.
And then it will go up for bids.
Right. So
okay.
that was part of the conversation last night. Nothing has been finalized yet. We always have to go to bid.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little concern that the funding from the DOT wasn't quite to the level we had anticipated or had hoped, but we won't know what that looks like until the bids are let
yeah.
next spring.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Stay tuned. We'll bring
yeah.
that one back too, I'm sure.
So that would start in the spring.
Yeah.
Look forward to that. Well, that wrapped up the big agenda, but there's a couple other items I did want to throw your way, and one of them's pretty big. It's an election we have coming up.
It is, yep.
Big one coming up, the midterms. But we have early voting just opening up here in Bismarck and in Mandan today at noon,
Wednesday,
I believe.
Wednesday the 24th at noon. I just checked the time again before I left there City County building. So I talked to our county auditor just the other day, and he indicated that the number of absentee ballots that had been submitted, huge. It has exceeded past counts, even 2 years ago during the presidential election. Absentee ballots are up. So certainly a critical time in our community, a critical time in our state. There's a lot of questions to be answered, but we encourage people, do your homework, do your research, understand the measures. We've got city measures. We've got state measures. We don't want to confuse those.
Just again, early voting's opening today. Typically, the hours are 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., but it varies slightly. I believe they're open on Saturday as well, 9 to 1. So City County building for Burleigh County residents, and this is any precinct. It doesn't matter. You can vote at the City County building. It's right on the main floor.
Just easy in, off. Easy out. Yep. Parking in the back if you can't find a spot on the street.
Very easy.
For anybody that doesn't know where it's at, 221 North 5th Street, right at the corner of 5th and Thayer, just south of the courthouse. So take an opportunity if you're not able to get out on election day.
And that's ditto for Morton County. Mm-hmm. They have Morton County, the law enforcement building downtown is now open. The I believe that the hours are completely the same between Burleigh and Morton County. But check the website. You can get on Burleigh County's website or Morton County's website. They've got a big area there for elections. Mm-hmm. Go in there and double check on the times and no excuses. Get out and vote.
Do your homework and
all
then vote.
All precincts can go to that one location. It couldn't be any easier. We touched on the three ballot measures the last time we were together that the city of Bismarck has pushed forward. So do you want to briefly remind people what those three measures are?
So measure one is the question on half-cent sales tax. Essentially the question is, do City of Bismarck residents support the addition of an additional half cent? That half cent sales tax would generate approximately $7 to $7.5 million a year. And the revenue or the money collected from that half cent sales tax would go directly towards major arterial roadway construction projects.
And there's a list of what, 16 projects?
Yeah, the ballot language actually spells out, I think it's letters A through H, it spells out the corridors that we're looking at. So really it's things like 43rd Avenue, east to west, there's almost 6 miles of roadway there, a small portion of South Washington Street, East Century Avenue, Centennial Road. Everybody knows these roads. These are the major roads in our community.
And these are big reconstructions. These aren't just
projects. And really the impetus for the additional sales tax, federal funding has trickled off over the past few years, and we're not seeing the support from Washington and then likewise through the DOT for some of these major roadway improvements. Mm-hmm. So to help offset those costs, sales tax is an opportunity for us to infuse some of those projects with money collected by anybody that spends taxable dollars here in Bismarck. Measure two, the request there or the question is, do you support capping the 25 mil property tax buy down? Where the question is being asked because back in 1988 and then again in 1992, the voters told city leaders, we want you to take a portion of our sales tax and help buy down property taxes throughout the community. So right now for 2019, the dollar amount that the city will use from sales tax to help buy down property tax is $9.68 million. That's spread throughout the community for every property owner. The question is, do we want to cap that dollar amount, freeze it at $9.68 million, and then move forward year after year with that dollar amount only? The question is being asked because the sales tax that's used to support that, as I mentioned, has kind of capped out. We saw a peak of about $17.5 million in sales tax collections a few years ago. The last several years, that number has been much closer to $15.5 million. So there's less sales tax being collected, which means there's kind of an inverse relationship between the property tax buy down and the sales tax collection. And if we project out without any changes to sales tax increases, almost all the sales tax will be used for property tax buy down within the next probably 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
So, and then measure three is the last city measure. And that is, I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to, it's a housekeeping issue. We've got some old language in our home rule charter. There's some language that's been in there since 2002 for initiatives like supporting the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. Obviously, that's come and gone. We don't need that language in there anymore, but we don't open up the home rule charter unless we have other ballot measures to sort of piggyback with. Mm-hmm. So measure three, there's no tricks or anything there. We're just cleaning up old language to make it current. So would encourage anybody, if they have questions about this, we've got a number of public information sessions for people to come and ask questions. We've got information on our website, the Bismarck Mandan Chamber of Commerce, the Bismarck Mandan Development Association, yeah. Mark Mandan Board of Realtors and the Home Builders Association have all been supportive in this. And really, these initiatives are stemmed from the Infrastructure Task Force and the Special Assessment Task Force, mm-hmm. which I know we've talked about several times in yeah. the past. Those were the recommendations from all the months-long worth of work that those two task forces put together.
Okay. And you would see these measures only if you're a citizen of Bismarck,
correct.
Not in the ETA.
Right.
But it will
not
be
Mandan,
on those.
Not Martin right. County. This is purely for yep. City of Bismarck.
So if you're not sure about that now, call the city.
Yep.
Call the chamber.
Call us. 355-1300 is city administration. We have some information on our website as well. Okay. I know the media is picking these things up as well. So again, just do your homework, please. You know mm-hmm. what you're voting for and get out and vote.
Just one more thing on the election that's coming up. We have spent the last probably 6-8 weeks with the League of Women Voters. Again, we have a long history with them, conducting candidate forums, mm-hmm. candidate interviews, and some candidate debates. A lot of different formats we use this year. Those were carried. Most of them were live. Some were not. Some were just made in the studio. But we do have them all available online. They're also repeating on our mm-hmm. government access channels 2 and 602 in HD. But we archive this content as well. You can go to our freetv.org page, go to government access. These candidate forums and debates are all listed here. These are all active links. Legislative districts, most of the districts, House and Senate, came forward. We were able to, put that together. We have interviews with the Burleigh County Recorder candidates, and we also have the Morton County Commission, Burleigh County Commission, and Burleigh County Sheriff in there as well. So if you want to watch them again, mm-hmm. this isn't your end all. I always say that there's a variety of sources of information on the candidates. I noticed most of the news organizations are doing profiles as well. Mm-hmm. The Tribune is doing some in-depth on every candidate. So you have a lot of tools to educate yeah. on this election. So and this is just one of them.
As a person that will vote, I appreciate this. I appreciate this resource. This is a fantastic opportunity to consume the information on my time. I yeah. may not be able to come to all the candidate forums, but I'm going to watch them.
Yeah.
And I can watch them online. Yeah. It's a great resource. So
they're
thank you for that.
They're very interesting. And it's just, again, it's just one more way. And I think video really reveals a lot about people mm-hmm. and how they handle themselves along with a group or even in an interview. It's revealing, and yeah. you can really you get something here maybe that you didn't get in those other mm-hmm. areas. So
definitely
glad to do that. So last thing I wanted to bring up was an event that we are working here that's not government related, mm-hmm. but we are committed to our film festival, and we do that in April, early April of every year, and that's the plans are in place for that. But because of the success of the film festival for years, we last year launched a Film Dash, mm-hmm. which is a short film team filmmaking competition. And we partner up with lots of volunteers, but primarily Dave Dybel and Carson Nordgaard from DNN Cinematics, and they love to do this, and they're mm-hmm. kind of our partners, our managing partners in this thing, and launched the Film Dash last year, midwinter, mm-hmm. and showed those films at the tail end of our regular film festival. And we were all so surprised, so pleasantly surprised at the quality, the energy, the collaboration of all these local filmmakers. So much fun and such great films resulted. So anyway, that's the background. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do it again for Halloween. So we have a horror version of the film festival or the Film Dash coming up this weekend. And that's going to be at the teams are already out there working. So that launched out last week. There are 9 filmmaking teams in the city moving about. We've told them to please be safe and alert the authorities if they're out there acting like zombies. To please let us know, or please let the police department know you're out there. But 9 films will be shown, along with a lot of other fun films from around the world and locally both. It should be a lot of fun. Saturday night, Dakota Stage.
Dakota Stage, downtown.
$10 tickets. You can get on Eventbrite or go to our website at freetv.org to find those tickets. And it should be a really fun night. Costumes are completely optional. Come in and watch, and I think you'll be just wildly entertained.
Yes. Great.
Should be a good night.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. Long meeting. Long city current today. A little bit longer than normal.
That's good. I think we're okay. Lots to cover, though.
Yeah. We went through a lot of stuff. So thanks for coming in, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.